Verse number 1, Luke 7. Verse number 1.
You little real traditional Baptists, don't get upset. We'll have singing after a while if the Lord tarries. Amen. Luke 7, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh unto my servant, do this, and he doeth it. But when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." Father, we love you today. We thank you for Calvary. God, the greatest memorial that's ever been left behind in this old world is an empty cross and an empty tomb. And I thank you, you are a God that lives and a God that leads and a God that loves this morning. Help us in our hearts today in the preaching. I pray, Holy Ghost, you would help me and teach me in preaching to uplift the Son of God so high. Help us today. Touch our hearts and our babies, our families. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on this Memorial Day weekend out of Luke 7 on a memorable centurion. On a memorable centurion. Now, in verse number 5, you'll notice there's a rough soldier. The Bible said that there was this centurion in verse 2, and he had a servant who was dear to him, who was sick, and he was ready to die. Now, this rough soldier had some things in the soldier's life that we all ought to relate to this morning. First of all, there was the battles of this rough soldier. You say, why do you call him a rough soldier? Because he was a Roman soldier. He was hired from the government of the day to see about the policies and the governments of the Roman law. When you shook this man's hand, you knew he was a man. Some of you young boys need to learn how to shake somebody's hand. You need to look at them in the eye and say, hey, how you doing? You need to grip back and be a man. Amen. We need some mom and daddies to be raising young boys to become young men and then old men for the honor and the glory of God. He was a rough soldier. I want to say we find this soldier's battles in verse 5. Said, for he loveth our nation. I want to call us out today by way of preaching. There's nothing wrong with loving your nation. One nation under God that stands for family, that stands for freedom, and stands for faith. And somebody has got to stand up for our nation this morning. Hallelujah! There's nothing wrong with battling for your nation. The homosexuals are taking our country. Hey, the liberals are taking our country. So it's somebody stand up for a nation under God and say, what thus saith the Word of God. He was a rough soldier. We know he's a rough soldier because he knew something about battles. He, Bible said he loveth our nation. I love our nation. When I was a schoolboy in the first grade, I had Miss Sharp in the Rockvale School. In them days, you had first grade to 12th grade, all in one building. My first grade teacher, she had a King James Bible on this knee and a paddle on this knee. And I was scared of both of them. Somebody say amen. I'm glad today that we have a nation that we can respect and honor. You know something? She'd pull that flag. And this is what she'd say. Okay, babies, everybody staying. That's what they need to be doing in the NFL today. Okay, little crybabies, everybody staying. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. We ought to stand for our nation. Any young boy in a high school game that won't stand for that flag ought to be put off the field today. I'm not a racist. God loves everybody. It don't matter to me about a skin color, honey. What is right is right. We've had forefathers to die for this flag. They died for it. We ought to stand for it today. I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. Somebody's got to get back to preaching and standing for this great nation. We've never been in a nation this great. A place where you can be who God called you to be. You young people, you have the most brightest future of any generation that has ever walked upon the face of this earth. We have the amenities of a day that our forefathers didn't get to have. We all have vehicles where we can ride to church. We have air conditioning that we can cut on. We have technology that can bring us information. I'm telling you, the sky is the limit for a young man and a young lady in this nation that will stand for God and stand with each other and set their dreams at a higher place. There's nothing wrong with dreaming, young people. Joseph had a dream. My goodness, didn't Brother Patrick preach a great message here Sunday night? On you may have to go through a prison before you get your dream. But I'm telling you today, my friend, we better keep on dreaming and dream big and realize God gives us the desires of our heart this morning. Oh, what a great time to be in America. I know people's crazy as a banjo string. I know that. But we ain't got to be crazy with them. Just stand up for what this Bible says. Stand on the Word of God. Love your family. Whatever happened to family? This evening, I plan on having one of the glorious times with my family. You know what I'm going to do? What some of y'all don't know the basics of country living. I'm going to hook up a hose pipe. A lot of you don't even know what a hose pipe is. For you educated people, that's a garden hose. It was a hose pipe in the country. I'm going to put a water sprinkler on it. My little grandbabies are going to run through that. And then by the grace of God, we're going to cut a watermelon this evening. We're going to bow our heads around an old country table today that a country mama prepared for her babies and grandbabies and give thanks unto God Almighty of how good He's been to us, and we're going to enjoy the day living in this nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, He was a soldier because of His battles. You know what the Lord said? I think a lot of times that we forget about this rough soldier and his battles. He simply said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to a faithful man, who shall be able to teach others also. And thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Some of us are way too thin-skinned. We better get some glue in our britches and some gravel in our crawl and say, you know what? He is worth standing for this morning. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Ladies, that means you too. You're a soldier in the Lord's army. Way too many of us get our feelings hurt way too easy. If the devil knows you'd run, if he cried boo, why wouldn't he say boo? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Watch, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul said this, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." Now, there was a rough soldier. We know he is rough because of his battles. He upheld their nation. We ought to be upholding not only our nation, but our faith. For Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. It's not your opinion nor my opinion how we get to heaven. There's one way to the gate this morning, and that's through God's Son by Calvary's cross. Daddy, stand for your children. Stand for your grandchildren. Stand for your homes. Ladies, stand for your husband. Stand for your parents and your children and your grandchildren. Stand for your church. Stand for the people of God. Stand for your preacher. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. This rough soldier, he is rough, we see, because of his battles. But in verse 5 of Luke 7, now, I won't preach much longer. Watch this. Not only the soldier and his battles, but look at the soldier and his building. Said verse 5, "For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." Thank the Lord for people that have built the place for God. Thank the Lord for the people that not only have given their life to battle, but have given their life to building. Building lives. When your young'uns come down on Sunday morning, I love to hear what they say. It thrills my heart. And you may think that your babies and grandbabies aren't getting much by coming down that aisle and giving in that bucket to the Lord. But you're putting things in them this world will never, ever, ever take out. Building. And I commend you families for not only battling, let me tell you, it's a battle against our homes. Me and my wife have been married nearly 40 years. We still have battles over the craziest things. Monday morning I woke up, it's over a sink drain. She said, "Why you pull this drain out of this sink? You're letting stuff go down the drain." I said, "We don't need to put it in the sink, we need to put it in the garbage can." Shake a little head up and down this morning. She said, "No, you won't put it in the garbage can. You dump it in the sink. That's why we need a strainer in the drain." And before long, I just had to, Brother Randy, disconnect. I say, "Honey, sing me a rendition of 'Oh, How I Love Jesus.'" It's battles everywhere you turn. But let me tell you, Mom and Daddies, you got a purpose in your heart that you want to be together more than you want to be apart. And it takes both sides. Boy, he is a rough soldier because he was very involved in battles. He was a man of great building, but in verse 2, he is a man who had a great burden. But the Bible said a certain centurion's servant was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. You know something? Rough people can have a heart. I don't believe God wants us to be wimps. I think the Bible says, "Quit, you young men." That means be strong. Stand up for what is right. But let me tell you, we don't have to be mean being right. We can have a heart. God help us with our heart. Brother Mike taught a great message Wednesday night on be careful what's in your heart because your mouth will tell on you. This morning, he is a man of a great burden. When's the last time you had a burden for somebody? There's a man stood in prayer room this morning and said, "Would y'all pray for my brother? He's lost." You see, there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And this rough soldier was a man of battle, a man of building, but it was a man of great burden. His servant was ready to die. But then notice this, he was a man of great beseeching. The Bible said in verse number 3, "And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews beseeching him they would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loves our nation and he hath built us a synagogue." There's a rough soldier. But number 2, there's a reliable Savior. I want to say that again. There's a rough soldier. And there's a reliable Savior. I'm glad our Savior is reliable. Now notice what he does. You that underline in your Bible, watch your Bible in verse 3. This reliable Savior, first of all, when he heard of Jesus, underline that he heard of Jesus. I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the doorway to glory. When he heard of Jesus, look in verse 4. When they came to Jesus. See, you got to hear about Jesus before you come to Jesus. Watch how this Bible unfolds. Verse 3, he heard of Jesus. Verse 4, they came to Jesus. And now verse 6, here's this reliable Savior. Then Jesus went with them. Can I tell you, when you hear about Jesus and you come before Jesus, Jesus will go with you. I'm glad he's a reliable Savior. Now, Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. I love him. Praise him. He's alive. Because he's alive, he's around. I'm glad he's every place. You never met nobody like God can be at your house and my house at the same time. He's alive. He's around. And because he's alive and around, he's aware. Jesus knows every house in here this morning. And then I want to say Jesus is able. There's nothing that our Jesus cannot do. Nothing. He has it all. Now, I close with this. A memorable centurion. He is a rough soldier. In this passage, there's a reliable Savior. But then lastly, look in verse 9. There's a recorded statement. But this is what he said. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Now, this is the deal. A centurion, no doubt, had Jesus in his heart. He heard of him. He sent for him. But he needed Jesus at his house. I want to say that again. The centurion knew about Jesus in his heart, but he needed Jesus at the house. And you know why he needed Jesus at the house? Because he had a great burden at his house. Now, watch what this centurion says to Jesus in verse number 6. We see his faith captioned. Now, watch your Bible, verse 6. And Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now, I want y'all to catch this, and I'm about done with this sermon. I want you to catch what he just said about faith. And I want to read it again. I want you to catch it. I want to make a statement. I want you to get it. He said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. You see, we need to be humble about it, but don't be doubtful about it. He said, Lord, I know you're coming, but I'm so unworthy that you'd even walk under my roof. Matter of fact, he said, would you just speak a word and it'd be done. He said, Lord, I feel so bad about myself. Any of y'all ever feel bad about yourself and who you are? You know what he said? I'm such a wretch. You know, there's a lot of folks that make so much of their self and so little of Christ. But he's making so little of himself and so much of Christ. You ever met them people that walk in the building, their nose is stuck in there? If it rained, they'd drown for sure. They've done God a favor today. God's been good to us. We ought to take this humble attitude and realize, Lord, I'm not even worthy that you'd come to my house. Because I know who you are, but you're coming anyway. Is there anybody in here ever done good enough to get him to your house? No, we're saved by grace through faith. The Lord makes a statement after this memorable centurion said this. This is what the Lord said. I've not found this great a faith in Israel. Now, wait a minute. There's a lot of faith went on in Israel. So, here, with this great statement that the Lord made, we see that his faith is captioned, but in verse 10, his faith is conquered. They that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Wouldn't that be amazing time you got home today, God had done something at your house? He can do it. And then, this recorded statement, his faith is captioned. His faith is conquered. But verse 9, his faith is commended. The Lord simply said this, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel.
I wonder would the Lord say anything about our faith.
We need folks that trust God just at His Word. You know what the Lord said in here? He said if you would come to His Son by faith and repent of your sins, He'd save you. You know what He said? If you'd build your home upon this rock that Brother Mike preached about Wednesday night, not on the sinking sand, but on this rock, that when the storms came, and they will come, but it couldn't shake it because it was founded on a rock. God said He would bless you if you'd put Him first in everything you do. God has been so good to us. Miss Sherry, I want